So welcome to the Power Program interview. My name is Bobby, and I have an agent on the line, a great agent. His name is George Wanica. How you doing, George?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Very, very good. Thank you so much for helping us out with this interview. Daryl recommended you, and we both appreciate it. So I just wanted to thank you before we started.
My pleasure.
Okay, so can we let everybody know just some information about you as far as your name, company name, your phone, email, and website, just in case anybody has any referrals or they want, you know, they'd like to ask you a question or maybe work with you in the future.
Sure. The name of the company is Wanica Realtors and Appraisers. My name again is George S. Wanica, also known as Junior. Our telephone number here is 718-442-2880. My direct extension is 105. My email address is GS, my last name Wanica, Wonica, at WanicaRealtors.com. And my personal website is www.iSellSIHomes.com.
Okay. All right, great. And I wanted to ask you a question. Now, your dad is also in the business?
Yes, my dad started the company back in 1971.
Okay, so I usually ask people, you know, what did they do before real estate? How did they get into it? Were you always into it? Like, how did you get into it?
Actually, it's a little bit of a funny story. I had previously, when I was in high school, I was a banquet waiter at one of our local establishments where I would wait on weddings and things of that nature. And when I worked out ready to go to college, my dad said, why don't you get your real estate license until you figure out what you want to do when you're in college? He wanted me to become an attorney. Actually, he still wants me to become an attorney. So I got my real estate license. I was going to school up at St. John's University, and I would basically go from class directly into the office and work basically till 9, 10 o'clock at night and then do the whole thing up the very next day. I got halfway through college and was enjoying what I was doing. I enjoyed the money I was making. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? This is what I want to do. I had a passion for the business. I was never forced to come into this business. As some people sometimes like to think, it's like, oh, you know, family business. You know, he wanted his kid to go into the business. Never was forced, never was pressured to go into the business. It was, mm-hmm. Hey, listen, if you like it, great. If you don't, then do whatever you want to do. Mm-hmm. So, and that's pretty much how my foray into the real estate business had come. It was here, but it was nothing that I was kind of pressured to do.
Hmm. That's interesting. That's pretty smart of your dad to do that, because it was something to fall back on, and you never know. You did enjoy it, so excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Could you let everybody know, however you prefer, on how you're doing in the business, like what your transactions, sales, income, however you feel you'd like to express it, but give everybody an idea of how you're doing.
Sure. I primarily am I'm a listing person. Again, when I started off in this business, and Daryl talks about it a lot, is your money is essentially in the listings. And then, as he likes to say, you go out and you play with buyers and you have enough listings, which quite frankly is exactly what I do. I feel that the fact of when I have enough listings in my stable, as I like to call it, then I go out and I'll play with buyers, and I'm not pressured with those individual buyers. Like, if they buy, great. If they don't, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, in my opinion, doing this 20 years already, buyers can pick up if you're trying to pressure them into buying something. And it's when you're not pressured, you know, to make that sale, and as the expression goes, sometimes faking it until you make it, that's when they actually go out there and buy and you're more successful. But I could tell you that I was actually just looking at my statistics for the last 2 years last night, and last year exactly 70% of my sales were listings and 30% was buyers, which is exactly what my ratios have always wanted to be, is in that threshold, if you will.
Mm. Gotcha. Okay, so give us an idea of how many transactions, let everybody know how, you know, the number or something, just to track you.
Oh, yeah, sure. Over the last, last year I did close to $5 million in transactions. I had about, I want to say it was anywhere between 14 to 15 transactions last year. The year before was very similar to that. The thing with me is I'm a little bit different from most real estate practitioners because I also have my appraisal license. I'm a licensed real estate appraiser. So I do a lot of that on the side, as well as also I have my mortgage originator's license. So I do mortgages as well. Mm-hmm. So my company is like one-stop shopping, and I do a lot of it. So I'm pulled in a lot of different places, as well as being a manager and trying to help my agents go down that road. And make them better, and make them better listening people. So, as the expression goes, my hands are very full at any given point. So, would I like to do more? Absolutely, but I do this all myself. I don't have an assistant. I don't have a team of people. It's just, as the expression goes, just me. But I also do take my fair share of time off. Mm-hmm. I'm married with three lovely kids. So the thing about this business that I like is that if they have something that's going on, I basically just say, okay, well, that's more important to me, and I go do what I have to do. That to me is the balance that I always need to have in this business, time management and things of that nature. So
excellent. So you basically you put yourself in a position where you can pretty much choose how your day goes or what you want to do, you know, for mm-hmm. whether you want to spend it with your family or you do want to dedicate it to work.
Sure.
With saying that, what is...
Or if I want to hit the golf course as well, which I hit the golf course a lot.
Well, there you go. So, you know, you spend time with your family, you spend time on the golf course, and you're doing your thing with the real estate. So let me ask you a question. With that being said, what is a typical day for you look like? I know it's not always the same, but give us an idea of what you do, you know, from when you first start from when you end your day.
Sure. Well, one of the first things that I do is when I'm home, I attend a lot of the real estate conventions for the state association, for the national association, and I volunteer a lot on that time as well. Again, this comes back to my whole time management situation, and I have my hands in a lot of different things. But when I'm home, I always like to try to take my kids to school, so they see me in the morning and stuff like that. Then I come right to the office. My office opens at 9:00. Most of the time, I'll be here by 8:00, 8:15, 8:30, and get what I refer to as the ancillary paperwork that has to be done. I know things, you know, because when the clock strikes 9, those phones start ringing, whether it's an attorney. I like to try to take those calls as quickly as possible, make my calls or my follow-up calls first thing in the morning between 9 and 10, 10:30, someplace in that range, depending on how many phone calls I have to make. And then it frees me up to whether they go out, run errands, you know, deliver appraisals and things of that nature. Make phone calls on expireds. I actually started to, after taking the sure results last year, I started to purposely block time that if I made certain phone calls, if I took a little bit of a break, I would get back on the phone and start hitting expireds, start hitting FSBOs, and kind of go from there. So basically after that, I normally try to obviously have something to eat, and then right normally around lunchtime. And then, again, try to sometimes help my agents to, you know, see what they're doing. We're getting ready to do something with a few agents that took the sure results. And I'm basically, we're going to go into a conference room and again, have a what I call an accountability room and have the three of us go in there. And, you know, whoever hasn't made the most amount of calls, appointments, et cetera, has to buy lunch for the other two. So, you know, I think that's going to go very well. But, again, as the expression goes, you got to try stuff. You know, you can't be – I started in this business 20 years ago. We don't practice business the way that we did 20 years ago. So you constantly have to do new things. You constantly have to try to innovate. And you constantly have to, you know, change what you do to fit what people want. And then pretty much I go home, if I have appointments at night, if people want to see houses at night, and again, I'm home, what I end up doing is there's a certain time factor that I take out. I take out between 6:00 and 6:30, 6:45, someplace in that range. And I do that because I go home. If I'm home, I have dinner with my family. I don't answer the phone. I don't touch the phone. If the phone goes off 15 times, which sometimes it does when you're eating dinner, it doesn't get touched. After I finish eating, then I'll call people back. I'll go out on my appointments and go from there. But, again, it comes back to, for me, it comes back to balance, is, you know, making sure I'm going to hear my kids what they did today. And for me, it's also another motivational tool. You know, I want to hear what the kids do because then when I'm out there and I'm getting lazy And, you know, it's like, ah, I don't want to pick up the phone today. I start thinking about my kids and how they want, you know, they want to do basketball, or they want to go on vacation, or they want to go do something. And for me, I'm a guy that every so often needs that little spark and needs that little motivated kick in the, you know, in my pants to say, all right, you know, buckle down, focus, and let's get moving here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so sounds to me you have it balanced pretty well. And it reminds me of the days when you could go out to dinner. And mm-hmm. you didn't have a phone, and unfortunately,
sure.
people had to wait till you got back. So it's funny. Sometimes we just can't control ourselves picking up that phone, in certain situations where we really should be focusing on the people that we're with. So
sure.
I definitely appreciate that. Let me ask you a question about prospecting, because it sounds to me like you're very, very focused on this.
Mm-hmm.
What is the two like main, you know, sources of prospecting that you like to focus on?
Expires and FSBOs. I'm also a very big proponent in my COI, which is Circle of Influence or Sphere of Influence, depending on who you talk to. excuse me. At the end of the day, I think you have to work all three. Expires are obviously, and FSBOs are people that don't know who you are. But I also think that you need to be able to work your current sphere and maintain some contact. Now, some people say, "Well, that's a lot of phone calls you got to make." Mm-hmm. So, which is, and they're right. But as the expression goes, if this was easy, everybody would do it. And sometimes it seems like everybody does it in our business. Mm-hmm. But as you also have some situations where it does separate the men from the boys and the women from the girls. Mm-hmm. You have to be able to work all sections of that, in my opinion, in order to be successful. Because you never know when, you know, it's great that you work your expires and it's great that you work your FSBOs, and these are people that don't know you. But then when you go to a party and you say, oh, you know, I just listed my house with so-and-so, and you're going to go, well, why didn't you call me? Oh, I forgot you were in the business. Or, and you didn't constantly foster or nurture that relationship, and that's a relationship you have every day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many of us have gone to different places and go, oh, I didn't know you were still in the business, because you haven't mentioned it and you haven't seen them. So it's that delicate balance between the two. I think you always go out looking for a new business, but it's important to foster the business that you've had and the relationships that you currently have, and that only does anything but build your career.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. And as far as self-promotion, promoting yourself
sure.
and your business, how much do you dedicate into that? And what do you usually do to promote yourself?
Well, I use a contact management program. And one of the things Ed does, I actually use Top Producer. And the individual program is great, because what it does is, again, I'm doing a lot of different things at any given time. I do a lot of volunteer work as well, so I have a lot of things running through my head. When I put things in there, they give me reminders to say, okay, George, you know, you need to make this phone call today. You got to call this one. You got to call that one. You got to just call this one just to say hi. You got to send out three letters today. You got to work on this section of this deal. Make sure everything gets done. I also send out when I get a new listing, it appears in our MLS, I send out postcards to 100 of the neighbors. Same thing when it gets sold. Send the postcard out to some of the neighbors. The other thing I do is on my truck, I have a Honda Pilot, I have my company signs on there, magnetic signs, and I have my website as a rider sign on the bottom of it. And why do I have magnetic signs? Is because sometimes I don't want to have my signs on the side of the car. I just want to be able to go. But when I, for the most part, I have my signs on, and as I'm driving around, people are going to see it, and at some point it's going to stick in their head, and they'll go to my website or they'll go here if they have a question.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what I do to market for the most part.
Okay. What do you think as far as a new agent who should spend their money wisely? What do you think the first thing that they should do as far as promoting?
As far as promotion, I would say one of the biggest things is you've got to make contact with people. You've got to be giving out business cards. The first piece of advice that I got when I came into this business, quite frankly, from my father, I was in a class of about 10 different people at the time, and we get 1,500 business cards,
mm-hmm.
okay? And one of the things that he said is every year he gives out 1,500 business cards, mm-hmm. okay? And how did we give out 1,500 business cards? We all know the places that we go and the services that we get every day that we spend our money on, whether it be the bagel store, whether for the women, if it's getting their nails done or something along those lines. We all visit pretty much the same shops. I mean, we as people are creatures of habit. So when you walk into those places, if you're having dinner someplace and you give a pretty good tip, now don't do it if you do a bad tip, but when you give them a good tip, you put your business card associated with so they know you're in the real estate industry. Mm. I mean, I had a couple of new agents with me one day, and we were out doing a caravan, and I said, does anybody want to get, coffee or anything? So they said, yeah, let's stop at McDonald's. So we go through the drive-thru at McDonald's, okay, and I'm paying for the coffee. And I give the person at the window who's taking my money my business card.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, if you ever looking to do anything in this business, if there are any questions on the market, feel free to give me a call. She gives me my change. I go to the next window. I give that person a business card. Hey, just so in case you know. And my agents were mortified. I said, you'll be mortified until that person picks up the phone and calls you and says, I got your business card. I work at McDonald's. I'm looking for a rental. Or I'm looking to buy a house. Or my cousin's looking to do something. I go, then how mortified are you?
Mm. Excellent. Yeah, because it is a numbers game to some extent. And, hand out 10 business cards. And, if you get one lead from every 10 cards, I mean, that could be, 10 cards a day. That could be 5, 6, 7 new leads a week. So that's excellent. That's real, something so basic, but some people just kind of forget about,
Yeah. I mean, that's the other part of it. I mean, my wife and I, we joke when we go out to dinner is that the over under on how many people that I know with where we're going to eat. I'll know 3 or 4 people just from the other volunteer organizations that I do. That's another thing that I always tell people. You always want to be out there within your individual communities. I've been very blessed, and I was brought up under the pretenses is that if you're blessed and you're okay, it's only fitting that you give back to your individual communities. Now, I do it because I feel, in my heart, and at the end of the day, I'm going to be judged by somebody when I leave this earth that I'm, I need to be able to say, listen, I made a positive influence on where I was. So I don't do it for business, but it's amazing how quickly business comes from it when people see that you're involved in it, you're engaged, and you really care about what's going on. You're not just in it because there are a lot of people, and don't fall off the chair when I say this, that are not in it for the right reasons. They're not joining these organizations for the sake of they really want to help. They're joining it because they think that they're going to get business out of it. And at the end of the day, people can see right through that. Mm-hmm. So I don't, whatever your passion is, whether it be, American Cancer Society or children or whatever it happens to be, get involved in something that you're passionate about and do it for the right reasons. And guess what? It'll come when these people see that you're there for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm.
It's another thing that I always like to do, and it's benefited me for years. And it's great. I'm not looking for business when I go there. I'm doing it because I believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and I think people can tell, whether you enjoy your job or not. We walk into places of business every day, and you can tell when you're dealing with somebody, you're like, oh, obviously that guy really is not happy here, But it's nice when you can come across somebody and you can tell that they really enjoy what they're doing, and that makes you want to work with them. So that's excellent. I think who said it? Confucius, find the job you love and you'll never work a day in your life. Something to that
effect. Absolutely.
And that's
quite frankly one of my mottos. To me, this is not a job. I love this. I love this. And somebody said to me, how often do you work? And I said, I don't work, but if you were to make me put a number on it, I would say 25, 8, 366 during leap year instead of 24, 7, 365 because I love it. But to me, this is not a job.
I feel the same about what I do because I'm in the music and audio and video, and I love every day. I love every day working on things, creating, and so it is really important to enjoy what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, people talk to my dad all the time, and my dad's a very well-known, pretty much man throughout the state. And they said, when are you going to retire? And the first thing that he tells everybody is, you retire from something that you don't like to do.
Mm.
And he goes, and I live what I do.
Amazing. Yeah, that is really good stuff. Let me ask you a question. Would you consider yourself fairly decent on the listing appointment?
I do. I think I'm pretty, you know, confident wise. You know, I'm very confident when I go in on a listing that I feel that I'm going to get it. Mm-hmm. If I don't, what I then do is, well, quite frankly, the first thing I do is what every agent does. They beat themselves up for a couple minutes and say, what could I have said differently, and kind of go from there. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I do is I watch for any of the listings that I know I don't get to be put onto the market. And then I do my own self-evaluation. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is I look and say, okay, well, I said that, you know, we wanted to put this property on the market between this number and this number was where it was going to sell, and we should list it here. Mm-hmm. The first thing I do is I look and say, okay, well, did they list it for the number that I would have listed it for? A lot of times they don't. It's listed way overpriced, or, you know, it's nowhere near the numbers that I was thinking about. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's in some instances it's what they wanted to hear.
Yeah, and if you would have listed at that price, mm-hmm. you know, there's a good chance it may not have even sold. So
there's probably a very, very good chance it wouldn't have sold. Yeah. And then, quite frankly, the next thing that I look at is on the bottom of the listing where it says the commission that they're paying out to the other brokers. And I look at that number, and even though that's not an indicator and it doesn't tell you what they actually signed the property up as, mm-hmm. You can pretty much have a pretty good idea, okay, they probably signed it up at this amount of commission, which I would not have taken. So you know what? I'm not going to lose a lot of sleep over it if it's within where I think I was going to take it, as opposed to, okay, well, you know, then I look at it and go, okay, they didn't list it for the number that I wanted to list it for, and they're not doing the commission that I was going to go take. You know what? They can have it. Mm-hmm. And I'm at a point in my career where I've actually sat back and said, you know what? I don't need those listings. As the expression goes, you know, you want to work smarter. You know, the ones that are going to be hovering you on the commission are going to be hovering you during the whole course of the transaction anyway to begin with. Mm-hmm. So I would rather work with the people that want to work with me and, you know, not shopping around as if I'm McDonald's or, you know, when you want a good steak, you go to Peter Luger's mm-hmm. in New York, okay? You're not necessarily going to go to Applebee's.
Yeah.
If you want a really, really good steak. And it depends on the kind of steak you want. The same thing with you go to a doctor, you want the best doctor to operate on you, not the one that's going to discount yourself. So we have discounting. It's huge in my market. You know, agents that, quite frankly, I don't believe can actually do the job. But if they have that much confidence that they can do the job, they shouldn't have to discount their fee.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I go in with that as well. I mean, that's one of the things that I tell people all the time, potential clients, is listen, if they're willing to discount what they get on their commission, they're who you're going to hire to negotiate on your behalf. Mm-hmm. Why don't you think about that for a second?
Yeah.
They're your negotiation expert with a buyer that comes in here, yet they're going to negotiate their fee, and they haven't done anything yet. Think about what they're going to do, and they're not tied to your house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how does that make you feel? Does that make you feel confident in their negotiation skills? Because I know it wouldn't make me confident.
Yeah.
And it's amazing when that light bulb, you watch that light bulb go off, and it's like, oh, wait a minute, you've got a point.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I've used that a number of different times. You're always going to have it. It'll be here. It'll be here, and then it'll be gone again. So, you know, again, my attitude is I work smarter. My listings sell. Why do my listings sell? Most of my listings are sold by other brokers. And I might tell even prospects this. My houses are sold by other brokers because agents like to show my listings. Why? Because they want to get paid.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds to me like you're pricing these listings ready to go. So uh-huh. I mean, it's a creating excitement and people want to sell your listings. Could you give us an outline of how your listing conversation goes? I mean, not, you
sure.
know, it doesn't have to be in detail, but just give us an idea of how you work it.
As far as what? As far as price or
I guess when you go on, yeah, not price, but when you actually go on the listing conversation or the presentation, like from the time you get there, you know, and obviously you're trying to get the listing before you
sure.
leave. So how do you go about it? You know, how much time do you spend? And just give us a couple, like, steps of your process of when you do the listing conversations.
Well, I mean, as far as how much time that I spend, it depends on every client is different and every client has has different needs. Quite frankly, I don't even start a listing conversation with people until I find out what their motivation is, because if they're not a motivated seller, I could sit there for 3.5 hours. It's not going to matter. Mm-hmm. You know, I find out what their motivation is. You know, is it to go from here? Is it, you know, to move from point A to point B? Is it to get to Florida to see the grandkids, or they want to be snowbirds and they want to, you know, downsize or kind of go from there? Because I need to know where my listing conversation is going before, you know, I start it. I don't want to start having a conversation with somebody and we're not in sync, if you will. Because, again, it is a conversation. It's not it's not a presentation. It's a conversation to get these people from point A to point B, mm-hmm. and get it done in the best time possible and for the best price and terms possible. And one of the things that I always explain, and that's part of why motivation to me is always key, is if the sellers are not motivated, and I sit there and I have a conversation with them about getting the property sold, you know, as quickly as humanly possible, and not knowing what their time factor is. Mm-hmm. How do I address and how do I market it? Because again, it needs to be catered to the client. At that point. So I don't have any sort of conversation with about the listing, about pulling listing paperwork out, about a market analysis, until I find out from them, you know, why are you looking to do what you're looking to do? Mm-hmm. To me, that is the key point before we pull any paperwork out. I mean, I've walked into houses and sat down, and I've had my analysis ready because I've driven by it. I have an idea of what the house is. But I will sit down, and I've heard this, and probably every agent's heard this, well, if I get my price, I get my price, and if I don't, then I don't. Mm-hmm. Okay? So to me, that's the spitball method of real estate. And for those that don't know what the spitball method is, it's you take something, you throw it up against the wall, and if it sticks, it sticks, and if it doesn't, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. That to me is so counterproductive and quite frankly, stressful. You don't know if you're just taking a listing for the point of taking a listing. I mean, I've had conversations with agents where we competed on getting the listing, and they got the listing, and they listed the house $80,000 over what it should have been listed at. Mm-hmm. This is a true story. And I happened to see one of this agent at the event. I go, I got to ask you a question. I said, I'm an appraiser. How in the blue heck do you expect this thing to appraise out? Mm-hmm. He says, well, you know what, George? You know, at the end of the day, I was taking the listing because, you know what, it gets my name out there, it gets, you know, my sign writer gets out there, people might say, you know, that it's advertising for me. Mm-hmm. To which my response was, you know what, you're absolutely right. It's advertising to everybody in that neighborhood that you have no idea what the hell you're doing.
Wow, yeah. Yeah.
So, and then so when it doesn't sell, then I'll be the guy that comes in and picks up the pieces and go and gets the property sold and go from there. Okay. So I like those people. So if you happen to be one of those people in my market, please keep doing this.
What they're doing is they're giving themselves the reputation that they price their listings too high, and
exactly.
That person, oh yeah, he'll get the listing, but he doesn't sell anything. So
exactly.
You know, in the long run, it's hurting. You know.
Sure. And I mean, I'm talking drastically overpriced stuff. It's like, oh well, you know, it's, you know, they wanted it with this, and then what happens is you take it at that, but they don't want to do any price reductions, and they don't want to bring the property down to where it should be brought down. And even Dallas even said that when I took the course, which I would recommend to anybody, quite frankly, just as a listen, I'm in this business 20 years. I have 8 professional designations. If you say that you can't learn anything new, then quite frankly, you're not growing as an individual. Okay. If I go to a seminar, my big thing is I take at least one or two things away from that seminar. It paid for itself. The things that I took from the Sure Results seminar was just incredible. You know, it remotivated me, it refocused me on doing the things that I need to do to get back to where I want to get back to. Because even I get lazy. Listen, I'm doing this 20 years. I'm, you know, at some point you need to get those batteries recharged and re-energized and say, listen, you know you're supposed to be doing this stuff, so why aren't you doing it?
And
you know, I even had a coach for a while too, Charlie Mayoni. I was one of my coaches for a little bit. And, again, he reinvigorated me, if you will.
Yes, actually, I know Charles, and I just did an interview with him a few months ago.
Well, I listened to it.
Yeah. So you know, this is I'm just starting this, so I think each interview I might get a little bit better, but yeah, Charles is a nice guy. So that leads me to my next question, because I was going to ask you in one breath, I could say, all right, you obviously you've been doing this a long time, you know what you're doing, you're making money, but. Mm-hmm. You just said it yourself. You had a little bit of a lull or a little, you know, down, you know, and you said, oh, I need to get back. So obviously, everybody kind of, as well as everybody does, every once in a while, they do get in a little slow spot or they're not, for some reason, not doing the things they should be. They don't realize it. But how do you pick yourself up when you do get in that spot? How do you say, you know, all right, I know I should be doing better than this, you know, and then how could you pick yourself out of that? Is it education wise or getting back to basics? What do you do to get back up to where you need to be?
I mean, with me, everything comes down to motivation. Sometimes motivation comes from the strangest places. Like my wife is one of them. He took me in the room and go, you know, you haven't come home with a commission check in a while. You think it's time to get, you know, back to reality over here? So sometimes that's the motivation. I have been told that I'm a very driven person. I'm a guy that sets the bar high. And then when I hit that bar, I'm not satisfied. I want to go above that bar, which to me is more or less a compliment, because it means I'm constantly trying to improve, even as a human being. I mean, forget about it as a realtor, but as a human being. You know, if I can do other things to make myself a better human being, it makes me a better role model to my kids. Makes other people look and say, listen, if this guy can do this, I know I sure as heck can do it. Mm-hmm. So to me, everything kind of comes down to motivation. I mean, I have, in my car, I have cards that I made up about, I will get so many listings, I will get this, I want to make my income goal for this year is X amount of dollars. And then, you know, constantly is constant reminders, spits me in the face. Mm-hmm. So I have that. So when I'm in my car, I look at that. When I open up my wallet, I have the same thing on my wallet. When I go into my office and I have a dual computer screen, the first thing that looks at me in the morning when I turn on my computer is my family. That is my ultimate motivation, is to be able to take them to go to Disney World or whatever trips that they want to try to go to, take them on vacations and things of that nature. So I'm a constant guy that you know, needs that fire, if you will. And even my wife, quite frankly, you know, we've been together for a while now. And she even knows, you know, things that she doesn't, if she wants me to do something, obviously everyone knows, you know, the significant others know how to push their buttons the right way, but she also understands that the way to get me to really motivate the hell out of me is tell me I can't do something. Mm. And I'm going to do everything in my power to try to prove that individual wrong. Yeah. Just because that's kind of how I was, I guess it's kind of how I was ingrained. It is like, you know, never being the quickest guy, or is always on, you know, when I played sports in high school and stuff like that, and being cut from teams. Mm-hmm. And then I would always notice inside of me, I had this thing that said, okay, now I'm going to prove this person wrong. I'm going to come back bigger and better next year. And then I constantly would improve myself. And I think that's where it starts. Mm-hmm. So I think individuals have to find what makes them motivated within themselves to say, all right, well, I know I'm better than this. I have to do this and I have to do that. Some people it comes easy. Some people it's just, quite frankly, simple hard work, rolling up your sleeves and say, let's get busy here. But everybody's different and everybody, but to me, motivation, it might be different, but motivation is the main key. Mm-hmm. Everything is all about motivation. What's your, and that's why sometimes I ask people, well, what's your motivation?
Gotcha.
To me, that's at the end of the day of what I do. On my Facebook page, I try to put, on my fan page, I try to do, you know, inspirational quotes and stuff like that to try to push people and get them motivated each day to kind of go in there. Mm-hmm. Same thing on Twitter. So, I mean, I try to do as much as I possibly can do, knowing how motivated I get at times to get to a certain part. Life gets in the way. I got lazy. I'll be the first guy to say it. I got lazy, yeah. Okay? And what happens when I got lazy is I finally needed to get a swift kick in the pants and say, you know, dude, what are you doing here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you got to, you know, you're better than this. You know you can go out there and do it. Stop getting lazy and pick yourself up and let's go.
Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily changing something you're doing or you're doing something wrong. It's just you need to kick it up a notch, more or less.
Exactly. Know? Well, I mean, and Dow and said this in his seminars a number of different times, is you get a couple of commission, you get four deals in a month, you go, oh, look at me, I got all this money. And then all of a sudden you don't have anything to replace it. You go, oh, this business stinks. And then you get the more deals. And it's up and down. That's what this industry is about.
Yeah.
To me now, it's more about keeping that consistent feel. Last night, I was at my son's basketball game and I was doing gym duty. While I was doing gym duty and watching the door, I was negotiating a transaction from my phone because we have the technology that I don't have to physically be in this office every day.
Mm-hmm.
So I negotiated a deal. I walked in my office today. I put the deal up on the board. Now I know I've got to go out and replace the listing. So now that I'm in that mindset, I'm in a much better place as far as what I can do and what, you know, I know not to do. So it's, you know, this business, again, has changed in 20 years, and 20 years more, and this business is probably going to change even more. So it's constantly thinking of new and interesting ways of motivating yourself and kind of go from there.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Okay, so my last question for you today is I just want to ask you if there's any piece of advice that you can give to either a struggling agent or a new agent, how to kind of hopefully, you know, help them turn it around or give them that extra motivation. Any tips, techniques, something that you think may help somebody?
The first thing I and this is going to sound like it's a plug, and it's really not, is would be to take the Share Results seminar with Daryl. Again, I've got 8 professional designations. Education is your friend. It's not your enemy. That's the best thing that I can tell people. If you're able to take one thing, and I said this earlier, if you're able to take one piece of tidbit and pull it back into your business, it is absolutely positively worth it. I know from Daryl's I took a lot, but I'm also, I have 8 designations. I have a GRI, a CRS. I got more letters behind my name than I got in my name. my dad tells me my car looks like alphabet soup. But at the end of the day, to me, it's about taking, even if you don't take everything out, you take something out, incorporate it. I can tell you that my listing presentation, my conversations with buyers, belly to belly, as Daryl would say, most of that has come from taking some of these educational classes. Okay? So the best thing that I can say is get yourself educated, take some of these courses. And as far as, you know, education and motivation, you know, that I just thought from the education standpoint of it,
mm-hmm.
find out what burns that fire within you to motivate you to go and go out there and do it, quite frankly.
Gotcha.
You know, for me, it's my kids, you know. It's me, it's my family, my kids and my family, and then it's the charities that I support. And I don't make a real big deal about the charities that I support because that's, you know, I don't need to, as I like to say, pound my chest like a gorilla. But at the end of the day, you've got to find out what your passion is and then use that. Some people are more visual people than others. I need it all up around reminding me this is why you're doing what you're doing. So at the end of the day, I know this is going to push me to do what I need to do. We all get lazy. Listen, we're humans. You know, everyone at some point or another gets lazy. You know, my day starts at 8:00 in the morning, and I'm home sometimes after my kids go to bed, and I'm typing up appraisal reports so I have more time to make a phone call during the day or go out during the day, and I don't have to worry about doing that stuff. So I'm a high management type of a person where I'm always putting, you know, blocking time out to do this and blocking time out to do that. But everything comes down to your motivation and then education.
Mm-hmm.
To me, there's nothing better new agents can do or struggling agents can do than to take Daryl's class.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, find out what pushes your buttons. Pushes your buttons might be the wrong word, but I like pushing your buttons from a positive section because
mm-hmm.
it's the button that's going to fire up your engine and get you motivated to go to that next level.
Exactly.
So those are really the two things that I personally stress.
Excellent. And with that being said, I would like to just shout out Debbie Bonomi, because she is living proof, because she was ready to leave the business, and she just couldn't do it. She couldn't just make it, and she went to Daryl's three-day course, and the first day she just had some tremendous breakthroughs. And 10 months later, after the course, she is the office manager or a team leader, and she's the woman's making six figures. All that for just taking the course. She was literally, she gave herself the ultimatum. And she, the last thing she did was she took the three-day course to show results, and she had turned her life around. And like you said, she went in there with a good attitude. Like, you know, she didn't have any doubts. Well, maybe she did, but she went in there fired up and ready to do it. You know, she gave herself the ultimatum, and she went in there with an open mind, and she had a few breakthroughs, and literally her life is like A and B now. She's really, really doing well. So just want to acknowledge her on that.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, breakthroughs are what's most important, at least in my eyes, at least, again, doing this thing 20 years. And people say, well, you know, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. That's not true either. I mean, I've been to a lot of seminars. I've gone to a lot of conventions. I've sat in with a lot of speakers. And again, I'm not saying this to pump Darryl up, because he knows I best his chops all the time. But at the end of the day, I will even sometimes look to challenge somebody and talk to them on the side and give them a scenario that they didn't bring up, just to see how, quite frankly, they handled it. And I worked through a scenario personally with Darryl, and I said, well, this is what the response that I got. How would you handle it? And just to see how he would handle it, I said, you know what, I never thought of that. And knowing that I don't know everything, and even though I'm doing this 20 years, and I have 20 years of my own experience, plus my father's experience of doing this since 1971, over 40 years, and knowing that I could sit back and make a statement and go, you know what, I know a lot of stuff, but I don't know it all, and there might be a different way that somebody else can help me, that if I put this into my business, I make one deal from it, this thing pays for itself. And I've made more than one deal from it. So that's the one thing I brought an agent to, one of my newer agents to his 3-hour seminar the other day. And he was annoyed when we left. And I said, why are you so ticked off? He goes, because I really want to take the seminar, but I'm going on vacation, and I can't get off of my job. I come back the day of this thing. I can't ask for another 3 days from my other job. And he was really at me. He's really mad about it. And I started laughing. I go, well, you know, we'll see what else we can try to get worked out, at least on that level. But, you know, it's for those that have not taken it, the only thing that I can tell you is you don't know what you're missing. You just don't know what you're missing. And I can say that at 20 years and designations up the wazoo, it's been one of the most eye-opening things that I can deal with. And I even listen to the CDs. I pop them in my own thing. In my CD player when I'm in the car. I'm going someplace. I'm going to listen to what somebody else has to say because, again, you can never stop learning.
Yes, absolutely. So. All right. Well, listen, I really appreciate this. Daryl, I know, appreciates it, and all the people who are listening to the CD appreciate you spending your time with me. So I just want to thank you with that.
My pleasure.
George, maybe, you know, one day, you know, the following year, we can follow up and talk again.
Sure. Absolutely. Not a problem. My pleasure.
All right. Sounds good. So thank you very much, and we'll talk to you soon, George.
Great. Thanks.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.